My shoulder is killing me too.
Why?
So, because I'm an ass.
Right.
we had that big snowstorm like months ago.
We didn't have any snow. You had a big snowstorm.
You didn't have snow up there?
We haven't had snow all winter. We had like 6 inches one day when I don't even know. I think it was when I was in San Francisco. No, I don't know when it was. It was long ago than that. But yeah, we had one time snow where I wasn't around. I don't even know where I was. 6 inches, and then we haven't had snow the whole rest of the year.
We had tons of snow. We're like 10 miles away from you. We had tons of snow.
It's ridiculous.
snowbanks, you know, this is a neighborhood. You gotta get out and get rid of the snow in your driveway and your walkway because your neighbors are doing it. So you gotta. And I refuse to use the snowblower. We have a snowblower.
You have one?
We have a snowblower. I bought a snowblower. I refuse to use it. I hate anything that makes noise. Like it drives me nuts. So I was out there shoveling snow. I shovel snow every winter. I was out there shoveling snow literally 6 hours. I'm not even exaggerating. I had 2-3 hour podcasts. I listened to both of them from start to finish. It was literally 6 hours. And my shoulder was just, you know, getting old. It's it doesn't heal. Like stuff doesn't heal like stuff used to heal.
Right.
So, and it's still killing me. And my wife the whole time is like, just 10 minutes, go get the snowblower out. My neighbor from across the street came out 2 hours after I came out with his snowblower, finished his shit in 10 minutes exactly. and then started walking across the street to offer me like, here, use my snow. Get the fuck away from me. I have principles. And I spent 6 hours shoveling snow and now I can't get my shoulder to not hurt months later because you always pay for sticking to your principles.
You know what? First of all, it's hysterical because this is just, you could just replace the word like, instead of snowblower, you could put in like framework. And it would be exactly the same thing as your like coding mentality.
Yeah,
it's like the same kind of thing.
Running along the same lines in a lot of contexts.
But now I would kill for a snowblower, and we have a gigantic driveway, but we have it plowed, and then we just do the top by hand. And so like I'm always like, oh, it's not worth it. But every year I say I'm going to get one, and Jamie tells me not to get it because we have the kids, and the kids will work on it, and I'll work on it, whatever. Mm. But I would love to have a snowblower. Love it. Nah, you're crazy. You don't have like a big driveway. What were you doing out there for 6 hours? Do you have a big driveway? You can't. Yeah,
well, first of all, it was a lot of snow. It was like 4 feet of snow.
Mm, sure.
And you got to do the driveway and then you got to do the sidewalk, the width of your house, right?
Yeah.
And we have to do the backyard because we have dogs that need to be able to go out and do their business.
Right there. You can't be shoveling your backyard.
You have to make a little path, right? You have to, because they're short dogs. 4 feet is their height. They can't go out there if you don't shovel the snow. So you got to do like a little hedge maze for them. From one door to the next. So they go out, they find a place to do their business and they come back the other way. It's, you don't shovel the whole thing, but yeah, it came out to like six hours. And then you got to salt the thing.
Yeah. I don't mind salting.
Yeah, that's all right.
You know what I use? Here's a trick for you. Well, I don't know if you have enough. For our driveway, I end up having to do this. Maybe for just a sidewalk, I wouldn't. But I take one of those cedars. You know what a cedar is? Like a cedar. And you put the salt in that, and then it spits it out, you know?
Yeah, well, the salt is not like... Salt is like the relaxing part after the workout.
Yeah, you got to use your snowblower. No. Why aren't you using your
snowblower? I don't like the way it sounds.
Well, get some noise canceling headphones.
I do have noise canceling. No, no, I don't like it.
You know what I don't
shovel
like?
Snow the way it's meant to be shoveled.
I don't like the dealing with gasoline. Like we don't have any other gasoline.
Ours is electric.
Well, see, will that work? We had a little electric one. It didn't do crap. So
no, it's all right. There's a snowblower. Right. I just don't like snowblowers.
Well, then it doesn't make any noise if it's electric.
It does. Of course it does. But it's a motor. It's running.
Yeah, but it doesn't make like a big, you know, like a gas engine. You know how those things go.
The gas stuff is even worse. You got to go store that stuff in containers. God knows where in the back. And then
that's
like
what I don't like.
Fire hazard. Plus, you kind of feel like an idiot going up to the gas station with your little, can you fill up $1.50 worth of gas, please?
No, you got to fill up a whole one or whatever. But see, the gas one's the only ones with the power, though. That electric one has enough power. I feel like the electric one
doesn't have it enough. It does. It's all right. I used it like once, right. Half a time. I used it half a time, and I said never again. Just like the weed whacker and the, everything else that we bought for the house that we don't end up using.
Weed whacker electric ones. I got an electric one of those. That's all right. I mean, it only lasts for like 5 minutes or whatever, but it's sufficient for my needs.
That's the gardening stuff is the one thing that we just pay somebody to do.
It's yeah, like we do
$20 or $25 a week or something. Yeah. I just take care of that.
No, you can't mess with that stuff yourself. But sometimes I need to do it. Like, you know, they just do they do like 98% of it, you know, but then they'll miss something or you have a little area you want to clear out or.
Right. I actually wish they did that for the snow. They don't. We don't even have like teenagers coming around saying, we'll clear out your driveway for the $20 or something. It just doesn't happen here. I would have actually, it's funny. I would have paid somebody to do it. But right. I wouldn't have used the snow blower.
You could, you know, that. Yes, most landscaping companies in the winter, they do the snow blowing and stuff. Yeah,
they don't over here, though.
They definitely do the driveways. They'll definitely do your driveway.
Yeah, they don't offer that here. Or at least they don't advertise that they're offering.
Yeah, they do. They do. They have snowplow guys there for sure. They'll definitely do your driveway. It is harder to find ones who will, because they don't want to get out of the truck, you know. They just want to like, or they don't want to have a crew. So usually it's just like a guy and he just comes in, plows your driveway, but he's not going to like get out and do your sidewalk.
Well, we have the city doing it for the street.
I don't know if you guys, of course.
Right, so.
No, this is separate. This is separate. This is like the landscaping companies, right? There's no landscaping in the winter.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. We don't have that over here, though.
Yes, you do.
No, nobody, none of our neighbors. The whole, it's like a traditional thing. Everybody in the winter comes out, and it's like, it's the one time you see all your neighbors because everybody's shoveling snow at the same time.
It's a communal event. You don't want to be the only guy with a snowplow.
Yeah, you also don't want to be the only guy like who hasn't shoveled his walkway. You stand out.
You definitely don't want to be that. We don't have a sidewalk now, but where I grew up, we had a sidewalk, so I would always have to be out there and
show. It's all right. You have a 5-mile-long driveway.
Yeah, that thing's ridiculous.
You should put a gate in front of there. Then you seem like super wealthy. Just like a gate. No fence or nothing. Just like a gate. You can walk around it if you want.
I like this idea.
So I'll be in Bacon Biz.
Yay! Butov comes out of the house.
Did you get? I plowed the driveway. I might as well make use of it.
Once a year, you gotta pull out, go somewhere.
I hurt my shoulder for something.
Wait, so now your shoulder? You guess you gotta go to the doctors. You're gonna have to suck it up.
I don't do doctors.
Doctors don't know. They don't have anything to help you. But I do think so. Every time a doctor for anything, like they have nothing for you. They don't even know what you're talking about. They can't help you. It's a total waste of your time. But I do think physical things like broken and wrong with you is the one area where I kind of almost trust doctors because it's like they could see it. It's something that they know about these days. Like they don't know how your body works or what food does or what gives you headaches or what does it, right? They don't know anything about how anything works in your whole body except like, yeah, your bone is broken because I can see it on this picture or whatever. Or you have a tear in something because we can see it with an MRI or whatever. Like that stuff, they can see it and then they understand how to deal with it. They don't know how anything else works. But
well, the shoulders are, it's more like a, it's like the kind of pain that you would, it's like a post-workout pain. Only it's been around for a couple of months. It's all right. It doesn't let it. It's there because it's new, so I notice it, but it'll just add to the pile of the existing stuff that I get used to.
Well, it's like I have this bad spot in my back where I think it was caused, me and Jamie were in this big car accident, like, I don't even know, like 13 or 14 years ago. Right. And like I was fine. She broke her foot. And so we were just kind of focused on her and her foot. She had to have surgery, all that stuff. And then I don't know. I don't recall my back ever having troubles before that. And then it wasn't like instantly I had trouble, but now like my back hurts always. Like I have this one spot in my back that just always hurts. Like I lay down, it hurts. I sit up, it hurts. I don't know if it's like, obviously it's not probably helped by my choice of profession here. Just sitting hunched over a keyboard all day. But so I should get that looked at. But at the same time, it's like, I don't want anybody messing with my spine. So I'm just going to.
Yeah, I've been considering the stand-up desk thing.
I do have a stand-up desk too. And I do like that and use that a lot. But you're still, you know, like if you're really typing. Like if I'm like writing something, I need to sit. And sometimes, you know,
yeah, I don't know how people do that with like those treadmill standing desks. That's just, I can't do anything on a treadmill.
You're like, I can't even be on a treadmill.
I mean, I listen to podcasts. I can't even watch TV on a treadmill in the gym. Like in front of me, the screens.
Yeah.
You can't watch TV while you're on the treadmill.
You guys go to the gym?
Yeah, we do. Well, you know, when we're not sick with the flu or
something. I was thinking about getting back into the gym. I went to the gym for a good 4 or 5 year run where I went to the gym pretty regular, but I've been off of it for a while. Once the kids started showing up in mass, when we just had the one, I could do it. But now with the three, it was like impossible because there's always a baby and just whatever. You're too exhausted to go to the gym. But
yeah, you know, it's not really, to get bigger. It's not really about the gym. It's just getting out of the house for a different atmosphere for an hour or so.
Well, that's what's nice with the having the office. At least I get the atmosphere and I go on nice long walks at lunch.
How's that going?
That's good.
I saw you have a big physical sign in front of that building. That's very cool.
Got a
that
sign.
That tweet made me happy.
Let them know that we're here. You got to get up here.
I do have to go up there.
This will be the spring of Butov traveling.
Maybe tomorrow or Friday because Ethan doesn't have school. Maybe I'll find, you know, before I get the flu, before this cold becomes a flu.
Well, I just had this cold and the other people in the office here have a cold. So it's good timing. You won't be introducing new cold germs.
It's terrible. It never stops. I mean, we talk about this every week, but it literally, since you went to school in September, it has not stopped.
Forget it. It just, you're done. You're going to be sick now forever. We're 9 years in. It's still going. Still get all these weird illnesses, pukey things, all kinds of stuff. Never ends.
So you're going to be at Bacon Biz? Did you get tickets?
I got a ticket. All right. I'm going to be at Bacon Biz.
So I'm going to be at PAX and then Bacon Biz. April I'm out and May I'm out. For a couple of days.
Yeah, you're doing the PAX thing. That's right. Look at all this conference going.
Oh, PAX is not a conference. PAX is my vacation.
A hobby. Yeah, vacation. Yeah. That's what I'm going to Piers, I think. I'm set up to go.
Right.
But I was having some reservations about I have a couple other things going on at the same time and traveling, whatever. But now I think what I might do is I might make it a quasi vacation because Jamie actually has a mini vacation set up for herself with some of her friends in later in April. Right. So I might go and just go to the beach and just do nothing and go to some of the night stuff or whatever, kind of half go to the conference and then half do nothing.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Florida is the place for that.
I know. It's warm there. It's still not warm here.
Go hang out at Matt Stauffer's house.
Yes. Now you're thinking. I think he lives, isn't he over in the panhandle though? I think he's in the panhandle.
I don't know. Florida is one place for me. It's Florida and the Florida Keys.
Florida's pretty big, though, you know? It's pretty big because Tampa's, you know, pretty far south. And I think he's around Tallahassee or something like that. So that's pretty far away.
Yeah, I mean, other places. You know, sometimes I listen to some shows about California and places in California. And they say, you know, I got to fly from this place to the other place in California. Fly? What are you talking about?
Right, just drive.
This is New York. You just drive everywhere.
Well, especially Andre Butov's New York, which is kind of a small-ish area.
States are big. Yeah.
If you had to go to Buffalo, you might consider flying.
No, I think I pretty much drive everywhere in New York State. I was considering driving down to Pierce.
Wow. That's crazy. You don't want to do that. We're taking the family to Laracon in the old minivan.
You're driving, right?
Yeah, we're waffling. We're definitely driving, but we're dreaming about flying because I know 7 hours into this 15-hour drive, I'm going to be just pull over to the nearest airport and let's fly the rest of the way and abandon the car. But we'll see. Because, you know, my kids are are we there yet? Literally five minutes after we leave the house.
I'm instantly just picturing National Lampoon's Family.
Exactly. That's what's
good. I could hear the song running through the entire trip.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that ahead of it for sure. I got to be mentally prepared. Well, and even the, it's going to be like that. That's what it's going to be like. And, you know, the way home's even worse because it's just you've already done the stuff you're going to do and now you're just trekking home. And then we go on our actual vacation a couple weeks after that, which is 7 hour drive with a boat. So it's 7 hour drive plus a boat ride. So
I don't know how you do any of this with three kids and a baby, practically a baby.
It's brutal. You got to do it though. You got to push through.
You got to write a book. Or Jamie has to write a book.
We should do something like that. How to survive, how to run your own business and have three kids.
So what's going on? How's the office treating you?
Good. I had something else I was going to go into.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Hold on. Let's see. Something about conferences, Laracon. Oh, I had a gaming thing for you. Have you played this Rocket League?
I have played Rocky. I'm a little out of it now, but I have for the first couple of months when they came out. Yeah. I'm terrible at it, just like everybody else.
Yeah, because Taylor of Laravel said I got to try this Rocket League. Mm-hmm. He said it was kid friendly, mm-hmm. and it seemed like the kind of thing that was no commitment. Mm-hmm. So I was like, as long as it's something I can just leave for the kids and I don't have to actually play it, I was like, all right. Yeah. So downloaded it, tried it. I mean, I played like maybe for 20 minutes,
right?
But the boys like it, and they can play it together, which is so it's good because they're like not like crazy violent. It's just like playing soccer with a car,
right?
But it is, so it's the first game I played since I think I got 10 minutes into
Last of Us.
Yeah. So, I have to say it's not bad. It's not bad. It's an interesting concept. I wish like the different cars and stuff don't do anything. So I don't know, when we were kids, if you had a game with cars and you had different cars, they would have different characteristics.
Well, they don't do anything because it's a competitive game and they have to balance it. So it has to be the same. You can't have an advantage over any other car.
But like we're just playing amongst ourselves. Like I would like to have like the option to have, like, and if it was well, couldn't it be well balanced? Like this car is fast, this car is slow but hits harder or whatever. Like,
yeah, I guess. Yeah, they could do it as like a Street Fighter type of a thing.
It's like the fat guy, skinny guy, medium guy, ice hockey.
Yeah, ice hockey. Yeah, less hockey game I ever played.
Right, exactly. The best hockey game. The only hockey.
Yeah, I guess they could do that. But it's not that. I guess that's not that sort of game. I think it's core. It's a core design thing for that game. It's just everybody. It's skill based, right? Everybody's the same. But yeah, you buy like little hats for the cars and whatever later on.
So yeah.
You could buy the Batmobile, right? Back to the Future DeLorean.
Right, yeah. This whole game, like the whole, you have to make money on like merchandising your fake stuff.
They made a ton of money because they gave the game away for free.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
To start?
When it first came out.
I paid $20 for it.
Well, it was part of the PlayStation Plus. So if you pay $50 a year at the PlayStation, you get like 3-4 games free a month.
Right.
And that was like one of them. It's like a runaway hit type of a thing for that company. They made another game early a couple of years ago, which was exactly this game, but it was named something weird and didn't have as much polish, I think. So, and this one it's one of those Minecraft things, just a runaway hit. I'm terrible at it. People are terrible, but if you go on YouTube, people are just stupid good at this game. I mean, they jump in the air and they do all sorts of acrobatics and they tail hit the ball to go into the net from half. Yeah, is it a court? It's not a court. It's a field, right?
Pitch.
I mean, it's a good concept. I thought they introduced basketball for the March Madness thing too.
Oh, like a basketball theme for Rocket League?
You mean? No, like you could jump and
hit it in,
like a basketball version of that game. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It's a cute game. I'm terrible at it, so I stopped playing. But Ethan likes it because you could load up that, what is it called? Exhibition.
Right. Match, yeah, that's what we just play.
And just play like season. One car, you, and like some AI dude on the other side. And you could like instantly hit a button and switch between orange and blue, and he loves it. He's like, oh, I'm blue. The other guy scored. He's orange. So now I'm going to be orange because I want to be the winner.
Right,
so
right,
yeah. He instantly switches back to orange. Yeah, meant for that purpose.
Right.
But it's great to entertain the kids.
Yeah, the kids have been doing good. And it's so crazy enough that what's nice is that the boys, even though there's a pretty big difference in age, like the craziness of it balances it somewhat. So like the older one can't totally dominate because like the ball is just weird and huge and bouncy. And so it just goes wherever and kind of levels it. And then what I really like is they can play together. So they've been playing together against the AI, which makes everybody happy.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a solid little thing.
Yeah, that's not bad. The other thing I like that I set up for them that I haven't played in a long time, but they like it, is it's like a pinball game where you can buy themes. Like they have Star Wars.
Right, right, yeah.
I forget what it's called. I think it's a pretty big one. But that one's pretty cool too. I like these. It's funny because I don't like simple games for myself, and I don't ever play games like that like on my phone, which I never play games now ever. But when I was playing games, I don't like simple games.
Right.
But yeah, on the like consoles now, I kind of like the simple games. But maybe it's just because I don't have any time and a simple game is simple. And
I haven't played a pinball game since like that Windows 95 bundle package thing. But I know what you're talking about. They have like all sorts of license tables now and stuff they could buy for this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, what's going on with you? Let's get into some work stuff.
Yeah, so Hast is now Quintu.
I know. I have like... 800 questions about this. All right. But you set us up.
So the setup is that Howard Sales today, the unwieldy thing that was not only unwieldy to say and to write in marketing copy, it was just getting ridiculous just to do on a source code level.
Right.
we wanted to rebrand it, and we wanted to make it a one-time payment instead of a subscription.
Yep.
And the reason for that is you.
Me?
You tweeted the other day something about paying some company $99 a month just to send you an email once a year.
Right.
And I said, this shit has to stop. So I stopped with the subscription, and now Hast Quinto is a one-time fee,
mm-hmm.
and it's Quinto because we spent the weekend trying to find a name for this thing to rebrand it as, and it's getting out of hand. Try to find
it just takes over your whole life. You can't
even
do
if
anything
you do
else.
Not care about a URL, a clean URL.com being available. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So I just went back and I picked something that I already had.
Right.
In the last minute. But we literally spent a day and a half just, I mean, it's one of those processes that it won't leave your mind until it's done.
Yeah. It takes over your whole existence. And you can't do anything else until once you decide you're going to change the name or you need a name for something, that's it. Horrible.
Yeah. So it's quintu.com, quintu.com. And it took a while. I thought it would, I mean, the idea is just that, you know, a couple of string changes and a change in the back end to do a single purchase instead of a subscription. But it's like everything is touched. Every level of the code and the website, and everything is touched.
Especially if you want to keep it clean, like, yeah, the source code level where you have things that reference Hast or whatever and you want to change those.
The client has to be able to still talk to whoever it needs to talk to. The DNS needs to be swapped out. It's a different domain. Everything's into yeah. new SSL certificate. Everything had to be touched.
That's the worst. Now, you had Quintu's name you had a long time, and you had another app idea for this name. Now, what are
I
you going
to
do?
I had Quintu as a development for another project, but that will, you know, we'll cross that bridge when I get to it.
Right.
It had to be sacrificed because this one needs the rebranding. And, you know, I have no idea what that other one will be called, but, you know, whatever. When it gets there, we'll cross that bridge then.
So what? So how was the response to making it one-time fee?
Oh, it's good. It actually wasn't your fault. I actually did it because the customers wanted it. Yeah, we had a bunch of people that just said, you know, just it's the right placement for this thing.
It was always an experiment when we were first talking about it. It was like, well, let's try it and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, I gave free licenses to the people who already had subscriptions.
Right.
The differentiator was that it's a desktop thing that's secure rather than, you know, like a SaaS thing that people are like sharing your data with in aggregate and all that. Right. But it's not far enough. It's like half. It's not far enough. You want to say it's a desktop thing that's secure and it's completely different from the others because it's a one-time thing. You're completely isolated and secure and safe and on your own. So this is the right place for it. It's the right position for it. The other positioning wasn't fully there yet.
Too much convincing involved in the other one.
Yes, I think this is the differentiation that it sits better with than just a halfway one. So I'm fine with taking a hit on the price if I could differentiate it better.
Yeah. So then you'll do like, presumably, you know, obviously if it has enough traction, they'll do version 2 and make that like a paid upgrade to go traditional model.
Yeah, Victoria's already doing a version 2, much larger. It's going to be more like full featured with reports and exports of reports and stuff like that. So so that's being worked on. But in the meantime, it was a good time to just put it where it should be sitting.
Yeah.
So
awesome. So that's a big change, but I think I agree with you. It's especially if that subscription was causing like too much friction there, which I could see that because people in the desktop mindset, just a different mindset too, yeah. So let them own it.
Yeah, I didn't want to do an annual for 80 or whatever because that was too much.
Right.
I didn't want to do a monthly at 8 because that seemed petty.
Right.
and I didn't want it to have a subscription at all. And I think it's just in a better position if it's a single purchase product.
Yeah. Well, there's still a market for that. You know, it's like... you know, every blog post you see written is like SaaS everything, and it does have its advantages, and especially in some areas. But at the same time, a lot of companies still selling desktop software or one-time purchase software. So it's still highly viable.
Yeah, and I'm going to do, I'm moving on to finally getting Scribbleton up to a paid version.
Hold on. Let's do our sponsor before we go.
Okay.
Further into the show. So
Linode.
Linode sponsored the whole season. Bought us out. Said they want the whole season. They want a whole spring semester. We said, sure. Linode, where we host a bunch of stuff. Helpspot.com, which I want to talk about a little bit later, which I rebuilt recently, hosted on Linode. And you guys all know about Linode by now, but they have 8 data centers. It's all SSD. It's really affordable, $10 a month for the 1 gig server, but you can scale all the way up to, I don't even know, 16, 32, big servers. It's all KVM now, so it's faster. They have the backups, which I just enabled for HelpSpot.com because we're doing some stuff different. I didn't have it on before, but now I want to have it on because we're storing some stuff to disk that we didn't used to. And it was like, you know, $2 or whatever. It was like, okay, for $2, I'm backed up.
Got to have the backups on.
Got to have the backups. 24/7 support, 365 days a year. All kinds of, you know, cool stuff over there. The full control panel lets you spin things up, spin them down. Also works with whole, you know, it's got an API, so it works with other kind of deployment systems. We use it with Laravel Forge, for example, to spin up new servers on Linode. So works seamlessly with that kind of helper applications that you might be using, or if you just need to obviously directly code up your own solution for spinning up VMs. So it can handle all that stuff really fast. And definitely, you know, we recommend them. I was in there again this morning. I think we have 10 servers on there, mostly 1 and 2 gigabyte servers. So really good stuff. Every website, we just have own server for the most part. And it's great. $10 a month, I don't have to worry about it. There's no, you know, everything's fully isolated. Don't have to worry about one site taking down another or anything like that. So really great. Highly recommended. Linode, check it out. You can get $20 off. So that'd be 2 months of a 1 gig server. So just go to linode.com/bootstrappedfm. And that's linode.com/bootstrappedfm. And you'll get the $20 code. And I'll be all set. We'll also have that in the show notes for you. So thanks a lot to Linode.
Cool. Gonna make a paid version of Scribbleton.
And now with that, you had people gave you the email address to download it, or you could download it without the email address.
You could download it without the email address. It's been actually, there's a support Scribbleton type of donation thing, and that's been going on like one a week or two a week. So that's pretty good, even without the payment gates, whatever. But
right.
I just kind of, the longer I sit on it, the longer it's weird. So I have to put a price on it.
So what do you think about doing there? So what do you have to change? Just like integrating the payment stuff and like a time trial kind of thing? Or
the biggest thing would be like if the paid version will be time limited or feature limited, I can't have them existing people accidentally downloading it, not realizing what's going on and trying to open their existing files with it and not being able to do stuff with it, especially if the new versions start modifying the structure of the persistence structure, so it won't be able to be opened with the old version of Scribbleton anymore. So I have to make the legacy version, I guess, or whatever we call it. They're beta versions, so I have to make the beta versions of Scribbleton still available for download for those people, and figure out a method of doing something so that if they accidentally download the new version and don't want to pay for it, they still be able to access their old data and modify their old data. So that's sort of the challenge now that I'm going to start working on.
I think, as long as you have the old one still up, you can always just say, hey, you got to go back to the beta because that's like the deal. Obviously, beta was going to end at some point. And
You got to just tread carefully there because the beta was used by far more people than anticipated. So it's like 20,000 people on the main.
Yeah, well, you don't want to lose out. Now, does it have an auto updater or
no?
Or
just notify you? Yeah, it does notify you. I don't think I'm going to use that though.
Well, you know, the other thing would be if you don't, it would be ideal to have those people download the new version, right? So maybe you could have it, make it more like a, or at least for those beta people, you know, if you wanted to make a variation, but like where it, you know, it, kind of what it does exactly right now just stays as like freemium, but then there's a couple extra niceties that are paid.
Yeah, that was one of the approaches that we were considering with my wife, that to have like a regular and a pro, basically.
Because I still like the idea. I don't know. There's some freemium still has a interesting angle to it, especially with download, where like you don't have as much.
Right, you're not really supporting resources. The weight of it. Yeah. I don't know. We haven't considered. I mean, we've been considering a lot of the options, but we haven't like decided on one yet. So. Yeah. You got to tread carefully, but got to do something, because otherwise it's just it's basically a full-fledged good product that's not monetized at all.
Right. But you have all those users. You definitely want to leverage that. You know, you definitely want to be able to convert, like, you know, because it'd be right. Nice day one to convert
right,
like,
right,
500 right. people to pay it or whatever. Like, that would be awesome. So kind of get you out of the gate with a nice mini payday to kick you off, right?
Yeah, it's a shame that the beta versions don't have like a sort of, they just check for an update, but they don't have a way of pushing out a message, say this is what sort of an update it is. It just says there's a new version that's not acceptable.
Well, maybe you do two versions, like do another beta release that gives you some more capabilities to push messaging, you know, and then get those upgraded and then do a real
release. That's also an option, sure.
Yeah. And so now it's interesting, you're moved from mobile. So now you're moving to desktop apps.
Two desktops, and then I'm going to do one Uber deck that's going to be more like HubSpot structure. On-premise downloadable web app. Mm-hmm. And I have fleshing out the ideas for SaaS.
SaaS.
Yeah, there's no way to do it but a SaaS, though. So.
This is a new thing?
This is a new thing. Okay. This is a new thing.
Are you gonna give us any hints here?
No. No, not yet.
Is it for businesses, consumers?
It's for developers.
Developers. Yeah. I like that. That's a good idea. I already like it.
But it's super technically hard. I always do this to myself. I hate myself for doing this to myself. It doesn't have a competition because it's cartoonish level hard.
Well, that sounds like a challenging project.
It's a sort of hard to where like Google releases it in a lab and then gives up on it a month later.
maybe this isn't the best idea though. But if you can pull it off,
yeah, we'll see.
Get that VC money.
No thanks.
Yeah, you get that cash. Get those beautiful dollars.
Just no. What else? Oh, Angie Bryce tweeted the other day. I was just thinking about the tweet for a while, so I thought I'd mention it. He tweeted how the Jolon Software Business of Software Forum is on its last legs.
Yes, I saw that tweet.
And I went there, and it does look barren. when he tweeted it, I realized how weird it is as to how different my life would have been if that place had not existed.
Yeah,
that's like crazy. Sitting on a trading room floor, hating life. this stupid little forum represented like social proof that it was possible to do what I do now and make a living. And it's really weird that it's this dinky little dorky forum on the internet completely like mapped out my life for a decade after.
How about that you run the replacement for it? How about that?
we run the replacement for it, yeah. Hopefully motivating a new generation.
Yeah, if you don't already go to the Discuss forums, discuss.bootstrap.fm,
right.
Check it out. They are the new Jolon Software forums, which you probably don't even know what Jolon Software forums are, so it doesn't matter. But it's where you can go and be inspired that this is possible.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. Jolon Software, I mean, it's crazy. I kind of wish that's where, like, I mean, it's good for Joel, whatever, that he got, you know, all VC super famous, but I do kind of miss the old Joel. Even though he was infuriating at times, it's like,
opinionated.
Like, yeah. And he was writing about interesting stuff and teaching people things. And, you know, I mean, I guess Stack Overflow is like an extension of that, you could say, but at the same time, it's not the same thing.
Well, the last thing I saw of Joel was the video you sent to me where he was making fun of his own employees for not knowing how to use Excel.
And that's a damn good Excel video.
Yeah.
I actually learned quite a bit in there.
I read the article, but I've forgotten a lot about it that I linked to here about BinPress shutting down. We'll link to it in the show notes, but I had this link for like weeks and since before the last recording, and we didn't have time to talk about it in the last recording, and now I've forgotten what the article was about, but I have the gist of it here and why it irritated me. Mm-hmm. We'll link to it. But basically, they failed at 30K a month in revenue. And they got to 30K a month in revenue, and they just couldn't push it through that, and went and got VC or something, and they just couldn't push it through 30K a month. And they said, oh, we're done. We struggled to get to 30K. We can't push it past 30K, no matter what we do, so it's a failure.
Oh, I think I remember this. I think I might have retweeted this or something when I was in California.
And this kills me. It's like, this is like everybody on our forum is basically, I wish I was at 30K a month. This isn't a failure. This is like my pipe dream.
Right.
To get the 30K a month. And now these guys are like, oh, whatever.
Now, BinPress is like, it's for listing source code, right?
Selling right, it's source a code canyon or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think it's like a code canyon with a little bit
right.
more Kodi orientation versus like the WordPress theme orientation or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've had discussions on the show about doing something like this. So we didn't know it existed. So there you go. Maybe that's part of the problem.
I don't know. It's just the mentality of it. Just the, you know, you start out and you struggle to get the 30K. Why is 30K a month and clean revenue not a perfectly acceptable level of success?
Well, I guess it depends how many people they had.
Okay, fire them.
Right.
Get back to two people that you started with.
Yeah, that should be enough. Because people, you know, you get the dream that like you're going to be a billionaire. And, you know, after
but that's
three
like,
or
that,
four
that,
years.
The, that's the mentality. That, you know, I don't mean fire them to be mean. Like fire these people with lives and
oh, it's a practical. You can't.
I'm just
pay
saying.
Them.
I'm just saying that the mentality of you saying it's not enough to have 30K a month is the same mentality that drove you to have those people to begin with.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's just I don't know. Just
yeah. I mean, I just think too. Especially, I think if I recall, they're kind of in the San Francisco scene. I think they're still pretty young, if I recall. So I think you just get that mindset that like all these people around you are trying to be, you know, make hundreds of millions of dollars and that you'd rather give up on this solid business than, you know, you feel opportunity cost is too great. That taking home and putting $15,000 a month in your pocket is not enough reward. So on the flip side, I can understand being burnt out on something. Like I could get that idea. But you would think if it was pretty solid that they would at least be able to sell it for something, even if it's just 1x revenue or something, like somebody somewhere would be willing to buy it, presumably. But
I think the issue is, I don't even think, I'm just thinking about my fire them statement. I don't think you could legally fire people for that. You could do layoffs, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing. You can lay people off if you can't pay them. I mean, that's you, and it depends. In most states, you know, if you're, what's it called, at will, something like that. That you can pretty much fire anybody for anything, really.
So. Maybe the issue is the fact that a lot of people are doing this, but these people decided to write about it is why I'm noticing it.
That could be.
Because usually you're not at that level. And people who write articles like this, these post-mortem articles, are usually at the level of saying, you know, I was able to make $100 a month with this thing, and they just can't pull it out of that. But if you're reaching 30K and you're writing the same sort of article, sort of with the same sort of lamenting mindset, that's not the right level at which you do that.
I forget. Did they have some investors? I think they did.
I don't remember. I think they did too, yeah.
Because, I mean, that also changes everything. Like, because those people are, you know, they're essentially your boss and they have no interest in you, you know, making $10,000, $20,000 a month in profit. Like, that's a horrible scenario for them because they need, you know, you to get big and get sold. So that doesn't, you know, unless you're at the like an angel level investor who's just like fine with a profitable business and they get to take their chunk of it, you know, a couple times a year or whatever. But most of these setups are more geared toward the big exit. So, you know, for that's just, you know, obviously $30,000 is not a lot of money in terms of you want to sell it for $100 million. Like you're pretty far away from that. Right. So that's kind of the deal.
I'm not in the bootstrap game because I love the bootstrap game. It's just mostly because I can't tolerate the VC side of things. Just the whole world just ticks me off.
Yeah, I can get behind some of it, but it's like I feel like it's only for the right type of businesses. Like I've come around a little bit more on it, but like this thing doesn't need it. Like you can sell this and you can make profit on it, and that's it. Like that's I don't remember if we talked about it on here, but there was a woman who gave a talk at a local meetup, and she was so focused on getting venture backing.
Right.
Like her whole talk was about how to get venture backing. But they have this app that actually seems quite useful in the marketing space. And it's a B2B app in online marketing. Like you could sell that. Mm-hmm. People pay ridiculous amounts of money for crap in online marketing. And you could just be selling it and making money on it for sure. If you put this energy, I mean, she's basically spent like a year and a half, like, you know, begging and groveling and talking about the grind and how this is what you have to do. And I'm like practically like wanted to just like jump up on the stage and yell. So I was like, no, actually, you could have just like finished building this thing instead of it still being not ready and sell it versus like spending this year and a half. You could have been marketing for that year and a half and using this energy. And she was a good speaker and everything. Like you could have been using all this talent and energy to get traction on this product and have $1 million in sales already instead of... you know, begging people for $500,000. Like, it's so weird how people...
It's actually a lot more difficult to sort of wake up and pull yourself out of the path you're on when you're in it.
Yeah.
You sort of see what the goal is that you've set to yourself, and it becomes very narrow, and if it's the wrong target for that narrow path, it's very difficult until you reach that or miss it to sort of like raise yourself above that and see the context that you're seeing it from as an outsider. Even though it might be completely like I look at other people's companies and well, my company is at the most successful in the world, and I could look at other people's companies and see where they're going wrong. Not big companies, but like our size type of things online, like our friends, and like that's the wrong decision.
Yeah.
And it's but when I'm thinking about Antaire at my level, I can't do that. Even though I want to try to do that, right. Like lift myself up and get like a forest context of this thing. And I can't do it because you're too, you favor the decisions you made already. And yeah. You can't get yourself out of that.
And you have a lot of, you just have all this history that you're fighting against.
I think that's probably where all those mastermind groups and sort of like board of directors type of stuff comes in. They're supposed to be able to advise you sort of agnostically from everything that you're in, the day-to-day type of stuff. But I don't have that, and I really don't have any interest of setting that up.
I know. A guy recommended to me once that we should have an advisory board for HelpSpot, and it is something I've thought about. It does feel like one of those things like, oh, that's a lot of work, and I got to like... organize these people and give them something because like they're giving me advice, and so then you're supposed to like pay them in some manner, so it's like
that. Plus you have to feel like you have to justify your decisions to this board of people that
but that is an interesting like that's like a good part of it in theory, but I mean and especially in the scenario where I don't actually like they don't actually, you know, they're not investors, so I can still tell them to get lost, but at the same time to have, you know, advice that's from kind of outside, but
there's a bias there. Like remember that thing we did at Piers, the shark thing on stage? I didn't like doing that.
Oh yes.
There's a bias there to give advice contrary to what the person is doing because you feel like you have to contribute something because you're asked to. So if somebody comes up and delivers a perfectly valid idea and the path they're on, it's rare that you say, oh, okay, that's good. All right, I'm going home now. You feel like, you know, you were invited, you're invested into this thing. You should give some sort of valuable criticism of something.
Mm.
So there's like, and then that becomes like a sort of a relationship to where the person who's asking you to do stuff is feeling like he needs to justify his decision, and you might feel like it's perfectly valid. You still have to feel like you're obligated to give some sort of contrary feedback, and it just becomes like a circus. It's not real. You want somebody to be You want somebody to be there vested in you, not the business, as a friend, and not involved in any sort of a monetary gain from this, and not feel like you're delivering a service, because their job is to deliver a service or a consultancy as of advice. You want it to be more of a personal level, I think.
Really? See, I kind of think the opposite, because I feel like I want them to, that's where I want them to have some skin in the game, so that they're not just giving me advice to give advice, but like to really have thought through the issue and say, hey, for us as a collective to make more money, this is kind of what I think. Either you're doing great, like let's just double down on what we're doing, or, you know, here's other things we should think about.
Yeah, I could see the benefits of that too. I don't know. I don't like anything. I don't like anything about talking. I like the idea. I like that.
I agree.
When it works.
I haven't done it.
When it works, I see the goodness in it.
Right.
But I can't see a way of seeing that it does not work.
Well, see, I think this is all tied up in, we are from like the original phase of Bootstrapper, like the real post.com. Nobody's got anything to help you at all. Like, there's no help. There's no advice. There's no advice online. That's why Joel was big, right? Joel was like one of the three people writing about what we were doing.
Right.
And there was no, you know, there's no money to help you. There's no systems to help you. There's no pre-built stuff to help you. You're entirely on your own. And I still feel like we struggle with that mindset. Like, I know I am always in that mindset of it's just me, or, you know, it's just us as Userscape with the employees and everything, but it's not like we can't depend on people outside of us, right? There's only us. We're on our own. And I think the world has changed a little bit since then, but at the same time, I know it's just like such a strong mindset. Plus then it's kind of gotten you this far. So it enhances the feeling. So I don't know, but yeah, then yeah, if you were going to have like formal advisors, like, you got to find people you trust and the whole thing. That's where it all breaks down. Then you're like, all that time, forget it.
What else we got? I got a stupid tangent thing.
All right, let's have it.
But if you got some actual useful stuff.
No, I just had like some stuff I've been working on, but that's,
let's go ahead.
No.
Useful stuff. Come on. No, I wanted to know what your favorite song was.
My favorite song?
Yes. Talk about video games. Talk about movies. I figure we'll go on.
My all-time favorite song? I like this tangent.
I don't know if you have an old time. That's sort of an impossible question to ask or answer. But just want to know if you have a favorite song.
All right, let me think about this for a second. My favorite song. Obviously, yeah, coming up with one would be extremely difficult.
It's 90s rap, right?
Definitely, it's going to be in the 90s rap genre for sure. You're going to have your Tupac, some of those albums. Records, Biggie, obviously, some of those records. Biz Markie, Just a Friend, that's an all-time classic. That's like even though it's maybe not the best song, it has like a sentimental spot in my heart.
Right.
If I was trapped with like one album, I might pick something like the Fugees.
Okay. This is sort of thing that Hickens should be asking you.
We should have Hickens on here. You know, but there's other things. See, there's other things like The Gambler. Like, I really love The Gambler.
Mm-hmm.
That's country.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't prepared for this, so I would say something in there, probably like it's like, you know, Desert Island kind of thing. Gosh, if you can only listen to one song, that would be
wrong. I'm not restricting you. I'm just asking just the general.
It's gonna be feel. That genre. I don't know if I have a specific one. I'm gonna have to think about it more. Do you have a specific favorite song since you've given this some thought here?
I do. My favorite song is "Breathe Me" by Sia. My guess is most people would know that that's the ending scene song in the final episode of 6 Feet Under.
You've linked to this before.
I also have these things that I call perfect songs, which is different from my favorite song. My favorite song is not a perfect song. Even though at one point it quite literally inspired me to change careers. I'm not sure how to break down what constitutes a perfect song, but when I hear it, I know immediately that it falls into that category. I think it has more to do with the structure of the song and execution of performance rather than emotion, which is what my favorite song is based on. So in my entire life, I've only come across 4 perfect songs.
Wow. He's got them. All right, let's hear them.
All right. So the first one is Alicia Keys' Fallen, which I consider to be structurally perfect. Even though it's fallen a bit out of favor with me because it's so repeated. a lot.
Too mainstream.
A lot of them are sort of, no, not a lot of them, four songs, but yeah, a few are mainstream. So I think Fall On is a structurally perfect song. Lana Del Rey's West Coast, which could be like the sexiest song I ever heard.
Never heard it.
Also has an amazing performance behind it. Melody Gardot's My One and Only Thrill, which is jazz. Unbelievable performance. Her voice control is like superhuman. Do me a favor, if you're going to listen to that song, make sure it's like on a high quality stream with good noise canceling headphones. It's amazing.
Okay. Okay. We gotta link that up because,
I'll link it on YouTube. I don't know if it's highest quality, but it's like the only way you can get the full version without
Spotify. You don't have Spotify?
I don't. I have like the free version or whatever. So that's three. And Mark Knopfler's A Place Where We Used to Live. Incredible lyrics and storytelling in the sense of being in a specific moment and time and place while recalling like an earlier life. Incredible song. Mark Knopfler in general speaks to me like few other artists. Plus, he kind of looks like my grandfather, and I miss my grandfather.
I've never heard of him.
You never heard of Mark Knopfler? No. You heard of Dire Straits?
Yes.
The lead singer from Dire Straits.
Is like he something he did as a solo album or whatever?
No, after Dire Straits, his entire career is solo.
Okay.
My grandmother and aunts tell me that I got most of my disposition from my grandfather. Shame I haven't sort of explored that when I had a chance. Man, life.
Yeah.
And then I have these temporary obsessions where I play one song hundreds of times in a loop, sometimes for like several days straight. Without stopping while I work. So the current one is Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift. I don't know any other Taylor Swift song.
Nice. I was on a Taylor Swift thing for a while.
The video is incredible. The video got me, actually, on that song, the Africa thing. So that's like my current obsession, but it'll be gone in a couple of days. It's just a nonstop thing for a couple hundred repetitions, and it's gone.
I don't know if I ever go a couple hundred. I do get that same kind of thing, but I don't know if I ever get quite to a couple hundred.
In retrospect, all these songs share like certain narrative similarities. They also share narrative similarities with Gone Home. Weird. I should look into this.
Gotta get deep here.
Yeah, so that's my sort of a breakdown.
Are they kind of emotionally? I don't know them, so they're like emotionally powerful?
They're sort of a... I don't know what they are. There's sort of a wishfulness for another place, that little thing.
Well, you know, I was thinking about now while you were talking, it popped in my head that because there's also two different sides, right? Like there's my favorite of like, I want to be happy, head bopping kind of thing, which will be like 90s rap. Okay. And what you mentioned on like for me, Biggie with is like, his storytelling is still unmatched. Like he just tells like in a song to somehow weave through a complete thought of a story is remarkable. And so like some of his songs that especially the more story driven ones are spectacular. But then on the flip side, in terms of emotional impact, then my favorite artist would probably be Bruce Springsteen and more towards the older stuff like The River, or Thunder Road, especially Thunder Road Live, more than the album version. Like Thunder Road Live, like you're just in tears at the end of it because it's just amazing. And it does have that kind of wishful, like the whole song is about like getting out of your shit town and getting out of here. So, or you know, Born to Run or what all those kind of those classic Bruce songs. But
I don't like Bruce Springsteen. But everybody who I know who likes Bruce Springsteen loves Bruce Springsteen.
And Bruce Springsteen live, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, he's 66 years old. I just saw he's back on tour. He's still doing 3.5-4 hour sets. The guy's 66. He's running around the stage. He's jumping. He's up there singing and playing for 4 hours. It's crazy.
Yeah, I only like one Bruce Springsteen song. That's the one from the Tom Hanks movie, Philadelphia.
That's even more than newer, you know, relatively speaking. But some of his real new stuff's good. Some of his newer stuff's good too. But you got to listen to the live versions. The live versions are real Bruce Springsteen. Sometimes they're a little overproduced on the albums. Like the live versions are awesome. I'll send you a link to the live. You don't have Spotify. I can't send you. I'll find some on YouTube.
All right. You got anything else? Because we're up.
I'll save it for next week. I don't have anything too exciting.
All right. This was episode 69, I think.
Wow.
Bootstrapped March 23rd, 2016.
And that's the news.
That's the news. We'll see you again next week, hopefully.
Later.
Thanks, guys. Bye.